B-Pod Studios.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, well, this took a turn for the absurd. All right, so I'll just walk back how we got on this topic. Is Tom Izzo was given flack for yelling at a kid, Henry, a freshman on Michigan State, during the, first round of the tournament. And then Drew McGarry wrote an article. I like McGarry, but I didn't like this article. And he said that it was, imagine if you were a teacher and you yelled at a kid. To which Rich and I and Walk said, well, we've obviously been yelled at by teachers before. I understand it's a different climate. But then we started hearing of these truly horrible stories, including Rich's substitute teacher that sometimes I think about this and just laugh in my regular life. When he goes, sit down, fatso!
Kid was in fourth grade.
Yeah, that's horrible. But, I mean, it's so horrible that it's actually kind of funny. But nonetheless, Rich...
we've been getting some... Okay. But let's get to this story.
Okay, so, well, read the real bad one.
Okay, there was... All right, so there was... We got a bunch of people saying what their teachers had done. And then there was... Okay, so there's this one right here that said... And we've been getting so many. It said... Okay, here you go. Well, first of all, it said, I had a teacher in junior high who gave me a dime and said, quote, a nice Jewish boy like you will turn that into $1 million by the time you graduate.
And what's funny about
that... Oh, my God!
And what's funny about that is that dumbass probably thought he was complimenting the kid.
Oh, my... Well, somebody said I had a teacher with a glass eye, and on the first day of freshman year, he left the class for a second, took out his glass eye, left it on his desk, and said, I'm keeping an eye on you.
Oh, we had a guy who shot a gun off.
What?
Yeah, with blanks, but he, had, an old Gatling gun or something. I swear... Oh, I forgot about this. I swear to God. The only reason I remember is because the girl next to me had the biggest boobs in school.
Was your teacher the wild man from Clark's Trading Post?
He brought in, this Gatling gun. He was, obsessed with the Revolutionary War or whatever the hell the guns were. And he just shot... It was blanks, obviously. It was not bullets. But he just shot this gun off in the classroom.
Why?
Because he was like, check it out, I got Civil War memorabilia.
Oh, my God. Jeez. Oh, my God.
I swear to God. Yeah, it was. And then, you know, what's interesting about it is it's very loud. All right, Michael Hurley, hello, sir.
What's going on?
All right, so I wasn't here when you first told this story. But
yeah.
And people attest to its truth. I mean, people that you went to school with or went to that school agree with you. So, okay, so if you got, first of all, you had Saturday detention, which I've never heard of except for the Breakfast Club, but you had Saturday detention. Now, what happened when you would get in there?
Well, I'll make it clear, I never had Saturday detention because I was a good little boy.
Okay.
But a lot of athletes would get in trouble, being, you know, troublemakers, and it basically turned into shirtless wrestling against the vice principal in the library.
Okay,
that was Saturday detention.
All right, so you would show up, and you would be asked to remove your shirt?
I think the idea of Saturday detention is you have to clean rooms and stuff, but I think when you're 16 and got something to prove, maybe there's something more appealing to I'll just wrestle this guy instead, which at the time didn't seem weird. And then when talking to Rich, whenever that was, a few months ago, it's kind of a little bit weird.
So would the teacher also remove his shirt?
I believe yes. I believe that was a key component of the endeavor.
So basically, and then they would just get all frothy and sweaty and just climb around each other?
Well, fortunately, I never witnessed it with my own eyes, but that was what these kids came back and said the next Monday.
Well, it's being backed up by a ton of people because I didn't mention what school it was, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, that happened at this school, and it's all the same one.
Yeah, and Dan said it's been happening. It just stopped happening 3 years ago.
So yeah, I mean, but at the time, when you're a kid, you're oh, whatever, because you're used to getting in physical altercations that football practice or whatever. You don't really think about how absolutely weird it is until you're an adult. And you're like, oh, man.
No, I'd have a pretty good handle on that being weird. Like if a teacher ever like took, like you're at school, like it's it, like you're taking his shirt off at school.
Well, that's kind of prudish of you, Fred.
Yes, I mean, silly me. Okay, so this eventually apparently came back to bite him.
Yeah. From what I'm seeing, I think there were
imagine that
decisions somebody were found made out to remove certain people from the
now early. When did problem. You when did you graduate?
2004.
Oh okay, God, so it's been going on for a long time.
There was a big run there. That well,
I would like to see the win loss record. I bet it's astounding.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you, Michael Hurley. So we've got some other ones that came and said we had two gym teachers, one lady and one man. It was always rumored that the male gym teacher was a stripper. One day the two teachers got an argument, and in front of a packed gym, the lady yelled at him, "You ain't nothing but a male stripper," confirming the rumor for us all. Another one said, I had a Spanish teacher with a Sega Master System light gun. That was like, do you remember the Nintendo system that had like a gun? With the cord cut off that he called La Pistola. That he would pull out and threaten kids when he got pissed. He'd point at them point blank to their head and scream.
Well, before I went to my high school, before I left the private school, you had to take swimming. And apparently the swim instructors were not afraid to comment on the young ladies.
Oh, jeez. Mm. I mean... You want to talk about things that once you don't realize how strange they are until you're removed from it? You know, the state I lived in and I went to school in allowed paddling. And I remember when I was in elementary school, there were several kids who got taken out of the class to go get paddled. Like they would be, that was their punishment. So they would leave and they would go up and you saw the paddle in the principal's office. And I know that there's been stories and some people have told me before that the school that they went to, there would be holes in the paddle in order to make it more aerodynamic. Like they would like get off on doing this.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But in my school, I just remember that kind of being a normal. Could you imagine if you ever found out that someone took a paddle and hit your kid?
Oh, yeah. I'd go insane.
You'd lose your mind.
Yes.
You would lose your mind. But now there's apparently in these states, including the one that my wife's mother teaches in, they have to get permission from the parents, and they said almost like 99% of the time, they're like, go for it.
I don't even spank my own kids.
No. No, I've never spanked my kid.
No, I neither have. I haven't either, let alone letting someone else do it. The hell kind of lesson is that? Wouldn't that kind of freak you out for the rest of your life?
Oh, sure.
Like if there was physical ramifications like from essentially strangers.
How about this? How about let's say I'm the principal and I just wanted to get an education and they told me part of my job was that I had to hit children. Like, what do you say? Like, what do you, I don't want to do that. Well, sorry, it's your job. You got it. That's part of the deal. You got to paddle kids.
Hey, see, and that's the thing is like, if you want to spank your kids, that's not my business. But if you're going to school and there's just some dude spanking kids.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of puts a whole other little spring onto it. No, that was at public school?
Oh, yeah, it's public school. And it's still legal. As a matter of fact, the school that Mary's mom teaches at still does it. And they have to call the family and ask permission, and almost all of them is like, yeah, he deserves it. You best give it to him.
Yeah, that's not good. I wonder what the SAT scores are around there.
Oh, they're skyrocketing. They're knocking the knowledge right out of them. Just any kind of like smart brain cells just shooting out the ears.
Spurred on to greatness.
It's just like everybody in authority is just primed to hit you. It's kind of teach a great lesson. Oh, hey, I got no anxiety issues whatsoever. Just anyone with anyone I upset, it's just I have to sit there while they beat me. That doesn't seem right. Listen, you want to spank your own kids, that's not my business. I find it very odd that there would be a school that allows people to paddle their kids. And there is something like sadistic about it. Like the person obviously like likes doing it.
Well, I mean, either they like doing it or there's somebody who just would be like, I didn't sign up for this. And then what do?
Then you don't do it.
I guess.
I wouldn't do it.
Oh, hell no, I wouldn't do it. My high school is, I look back and there's some weird things that went on. Other than, of course, we had a shooting range underneath the...
Well, that's the ultimate.
Yeah, we had a shooting range underneath our cafeteria. And also, our school was known for, while I was there, and I was there for 3 years because I started off at one school and went to another for the last three. Over my 3 years, there were three teacher-student relationships. Like, we made the news all the time. As a matter of fact, I just Googled my high school trying to find out a little bit about that. There's been like a million since then. There was one guy about like three, I guess 2 years ago, there was one, and he just got arrested.
Yeah, there was rumors of them, but they've never been proven to me. All right, Will Brinson's going to join us, and he's going to talk about paddling.
Oh, yeah, but he actually has a really interesting article that he wrote about the Patriots and what he believes the future of quarterback is going to be after Tom Brady, and it's something I haven't heard yet, yeah. But it's interesting.
It is a name that we have not heard other than Brinson, so we'll figure that out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Bruins, Celtics, and Revs Audio, all in one convenient location on the podcast page at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
Touch Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich. I have a super dry tongue, look.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. While we get Will Brinson on the phone, Rich and I were talking. I think that Motley Crue is an overrated band.
See, I think they're one of the best bands of the '80s. As far as the hair era, they were definitely one of the best bands.
Well, you said that.
Saw The Dirt, by the way. I finally saw it this weekend.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was pretty good. It was good.
Yeah. This gentleman got very upset with you.
With me?
I mean. Relatively. I mean, he's not mad at you. He said, had a day off today and got to hear the whole show. The fact that you guys spend so much time talking about music makes your show my favorite of all time. I used to listen to Big Mattress and Howard Stern. Rich and you both have great taste in music, but Rich went down a couple pegs to me today when he tried to argue that Shout of the Devil is a top five metal album.
No, top five hair album.
Well, no, he gives you... Yeah. Well, he's got Van Halen 1984, Appetite... Paranoid by Black Sabbath, Rocks by...
Oh, hang on. Paranoid by Black Sabbath is not a hair album? Dude, that's like 1970, I think, that came out.
But he's earlier than that. Aerosmith, Rocks. AC/DC, Highway to Hell.
That's, once again, not hair.
Okay. Metallica, Master of Puppets.
Not hair.
Def Leppard, Hysteria.
Okay, that's hair. And I mentioned that as one of the top five. And Appetite.
Alice Cooper, School's Out.
Oh, Jesus. Come on. Are we really, we're being serious now with Alice Cooper?
I'm just reading you an email. Cinderella, Long Cold Winter.
That's underrated. Great. Maybe even top 10.
And Motorhead, Ace of Spades.
Not hair. So, Shout of the Devil is in the top five.
I'd have to go to my study and think deeply about this.
I would put Cult Sonic Temple in there if you consider cult hair. In that era, they were hair. And then, Hysteria, Appetite. And you know what? Maybe even Rat Invasion of Your Privacy. I might throw that in there as far as the top. And Tora Tora's Surprise Attack.
That's right. And Kix, whatever their album was.
That blow my fuse.
Will Brinson, senior writer, which, you know, not just remastering. Will Brinson, senior writer for CBSSports.com. You can catch Will on the Pick 6 podcast, available on CBSSports.com and iTunes. And Will joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Brinson, hello.
What's going on? I am not entirely sure that I would qualify even Appetite for Destruction as hair.
Yeah, there's a debate. I'd say that it's hair enough because it's in that era. Like, I mean, it was 87 and they toured with all those bands.
And Axl had
like giant hair when Appetite came out. So and they were like that LA scene. I would qualify. I would say that that's okay to qualify. Okay. That
I'll concede it to the experts, but I always think of that as more. I mean, the other ones listed, like Metallica is not hair.
No, 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 no. No, that was someone else's opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
I know that. Quiet Riot, I might throw into there as well, too.
I loved that album when I was a kid.
Metal Health?
Yeah. In fact, that made during a Cub Scout meeting, that made my mother cry. All right, Will Brinson, you had a interesting article. Rich, you were the first to read it, so I will let you ask the question.
So, okay, so first of all, did you see on Instagram where Tom Brady is basically begging Rob Gronkowski to come back once again?
No, but that's exactly how he should beg him back on Instagram. Yeah. Did anyone really talk about the fact that there's a – I sort of felt like it flew under the radar. Is there a chance that the Patriots didn't want to pay Gronk what he was due? And once he decided that he was coming back, they're like, well, that's great, but we need you to take a pay cut. And he's like, nah, maybe I won't come back after all.
That's part of the speculation as to why he was going to sit out and why it took this long.
He sold his place, which you can take with a grain of salt, but, I mean, he did sell his place.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't seem to want to live in the New England area anymore.
No, I think he's done. I think he's ready to go be Gronk and Gronk it up somewhere, you know, in a Gronky fashion. And that probably involves Miami and other, like, Miami to L.A. and back and forth and wherever else, you know, Monday Night Raw is. But, I mean, and look, if I'm Tom Brady and if I'm Bill Belichick, I really want him back. Because the big thing about it was, and, you know, we were talking about it down the stretch last year, is it felt like the Patriots had kept Gronk in the garage to a certain extent, but when they needed him to work in their, you know, updated offense, which was a heavy run game and, you know, taking some shots down the field, he's a perfect fit for it because he's such a great run blocker and he can get open down the seam. And he had, you know, two or three of the most impressive catches of his career in the final two games of his career. And I'm not sure that the Patriots win the AFC Championship game or win the Super Bowl without Gronk out there. And so I don't blame Tom Brady. I would be begging Gronk to come back too, and I would want Gronk back as well. And if I were the Patriots, I understand Bill Belichick believes he can win without, you know, with any sort of combination of whoever. But if I'm Bill Belichick, I would also want Gronk back out there.
Did you put any stake in that thing that Willie McGinnis said? This is before Gronk even announced his retirement. He speculated that Rob Gronkowski could retire and then come back and at the end of the season. That way they don't have to put up a charade of him like being injured or whatever, and he could just get better and come back like week 10, week 11, or right around the postseason. Do you put any stock into that whatsoever?
I mean, only because his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, echoed it to a certain extent.
Sure.
But, I mean, no, not really. I don't know that you could do the Roger Clemens plan in football. Like, I just don't think it works because you inherently, you know, not like Gronk needs the offseason to stay in shape. But I know what I would do if I were a, you know, multimillionaire many times over who was 30 and single and just retired from football. I'm not spending the next 3 months of my life, you know, getting in the best shape of my life. I'm sure the next 3 months of my life getting in the worst shape of my life. I think Gronk is going to just let it go, but I do think it would be difficult for him to, you know, quote unquote, stay in football shape and then come back in the middle to late part of 2019 and just start playing again. And I mean, at that point, that's when you really risk, like, you know, breaking your back or something terrible and suffering long-term health ramifications. But maybe Gronk's not worried about that. So, I wouldn't rule it out, certainly, but I think it's probably more like a 25-75 thing.
All right, so you wrote something interesting, Will Brinson, this past weekend about how Tom Brady obviously is going to need a successor within the next several years. Who knows when the hell that's going to happen, but probably more than likely next 2-3 years. And whereas most people are saying that they might look to the draft, you had a different idea of who might end up being the successor to Tom Brady in New England.
We actually floated this. We sort of got on this topic on the podcast, Pick Six Podcast, up every morning on iTunes, subscribe, rate, review. It's, you know, sitting there by 6 a.m. Once you get done with your Toucher and Rich, you can check out the Pick Six Podcast for your NFL fix. At any rate, we'll talk hair metal too sometimes. The point was, we were looking at the 2020 free agents. Hey, buddy, thank you. I'm talking to our friends from Boston.
He thinks GNR is a hair metal band, by the way. That's what he's trying to tell
you. Yeah, absolutely. He's like, why is Dad a hair metal band?
He goes, look what the cat dragged in. I'll put that top five.
I mean, you should see what my wife, the faces she makes. I'm like, I got to do some radio real quick, and I'm yelling about Appetite for Destruction. She's like, what are you doing? Are you just leading a second life? What's happening? And at any rate, yeah, I mean, I think when you start looking at the 2020 free agents at the quarterback position, it gets really interesting because, you know, I mean, Marcus Mariota is the big name that I would associate if I was, you know, putting somebody together with the Patriots. You know, you have Jameis Winston who will be there too. We don't know how that's going to happen with the 1 year with Bruce Arians. But Mariota, I mean, the Titans just traded for Ryan Tannehill. They clearly don't trust him to stay healthy. And they clearly, you know, he's heading into a contract year. I don't know that he's the guy if you're the Titans where you can definitely say, let's give this guy $100 million and it will be perfectly fine, or $25 to $30 million a year, and this will work out well for us. And so as a result, I mean, I think it's possible that they move on from him, and then the Patriots could conceivably, if they believe they can groom Marcus Mariota, and I think he'd be a great fit for Josh McDaniels' system, quiet leader type, maybe you go out and pluck him in free agency, a former number two overall pick, still very young. You know, you put him in an offensive system and let him work behind Tom Brady for a couple of years, and then, you know, all of a sudden you've got this, you know, groomed, prepared, you know, really accurate, mobile quarterback who can just slot right in behind Tom Brady when he retires. I think it's not a crazy idea if you're trying to bridge the gap and you want to avoid that situation where you have to play a very young quarterback in the twilight of Bill Belichick's career.
So why? Okay, so if the Titans don't believe that he's going to stay healthy, why would the Patriots spend that money on a guy like him?
Well, I think that in this theoretical situation, they would pay a pretty low amount for him because he would not have a great in this hypothetical, he doesn't have a great 2019, right? Like, he doesn't go out and play particularly well in 2019 because of the fact that. He's banged up and all that. And so you can go and get him on a discount and see if you can get him, in like a career revival type of thing. And like, I don't think anybody that the Patriots sign or draft, I mean, look at Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think anybody is, you know, guaranteed to be it for the long haul. They've churned through guys plenty of times since Tom Brady's been there in the backup position. So, I mean, you're talking about with Mariota, he's signing a team-friendly deal that is based on the fact that he can come in and be the backup there. There's not a landing spot for him as a starter. And it also depends on, you know, like, how do things shake out in Los Angeles with the Chargers? How do things go with Pittsburgh with the Steelers? Is Drew Brees still playing? Because if all those old guys are still starting for their teams, there's not going to be a lot of starting jobs out there. I mean, they're just not going to be by the time several of these teams draft their quarterbacks. There's just not going to be a lot of available starting gigs. And so from that perspective, I certainly think you could see maybe the Patriots be able to slide Mariota in on the roster on the cheap, hoping to make him the next quarterback in the future.
How weird is this? It's like a bizarro world. It's usually so hard to find a quarterback, yeah. Let alone a veteran quarterback, and here we are. It's like an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, I mean, and there's going to be a little bit of an outflux at some point, right? I mean, the four guys I listed, Ben, Brady, Breeze, and Rivers, are all going to retire. Eli Manning is – maybe Eli won't retire. He'll just keep playing for the Giants forever. He'll keep winning like five games a year. These guys are going to retire, and we're going to have a bit of a shortage. But there's like a lot of good young quarterbacks coming in right now too. I mean, not this particular year necessarily, but I mean, I like Dwayne Haskins. I like Kyler Murray. And then you got Tua coming from Alabama the next year. Trevor Lawrence, Jake Fromm. There's a couple other guys. These next two classes in 2019 and 2020 are really good. So if some of these guys continue to develop, and we need to see more out of Mariota and Winston and Derek Carr and all these guys. But, yeah, I mean, if these guys can develop and then some of these young guys can hit, we're in a spot where the quarterback position should be pretty good for the foreseeable future. But I think all of a sudden, if we get four or five retirements, then you look around the landscape and you're like, whoa, there's not any superstars. Because there are some younger star guys, but, you know, Baker Mayfield and all that. But I mean, like, we don't have any established superstars still hanging around if Brady, Ben, Breeze, and Rivers all retire.
Yeah, that 2020 draft is going to be insane. That's
Yeah,
that's going to be a big one. All right. Will Brinson, CBSSports.com, Pick 6 podcast, available on CBSSports.com and iTunes. It's always a pleasure, sir.
Yeah, guys, always fun to talk. Have a great Monday.
All right, see you, man. Appreciate it. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
A.com.
Your smart speaker knows a lot about Boston sports.
Stupid me.
Just saying. Play 98.5 The Sports Hub. For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Baseball season has started, and Cardinals just said yesterday, hey, we're going to make an error, and then there's going to be a walk-off.
And the Red Sox said, hey,
I'm just gonna
none
say,
of our starters
I'd really like that much. I'd like that. That would be good.
Barf up. What's their ERA right now,
John? Over 13 through four games. That's the starting rotation ERA. Is the MLB worst 13-plus through four games.
All right. Well, you know what? There's a lot of baseball to be played.
There is. A lot left.
And you know they're getting this little West Coast run out of the way. There you
I'd
go.
Much rather have it now than later.
That's absolutely right. All right, so I have played fantasy baseball before. And it's funny because oftentimes people go, like, I don't have time. And I'm like, well, I got nothing but time. I can sit there and look at the computer. I actually didn't do poorly the 2 years I played, but much better than fantasy football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fantasy hockey is like Chinese arithmetic. I can't figure any of that out. But I have never been in a marathon situation. So, ladies and gentlemen, think of the place you work. Maybe you're going there right now. Maybe you're at your desk. And so you go to your office, and it's just not enough Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to get together with your buddies. So you decide, hey, fellas, let's meet up at the cafeteria at work. And what's funny is that John's not like the ringleader of this, but John, they used to have it at a bar, and I don't care if you drink or not, like that's not my point, but like having it at a bar, there's food, there's service, even though I would not want to be that waitress or waiter, because you guys are ordering Cokes, and you're there for 25 hours, but there is something to be said about, you know, social environment of a bar or restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no bar. The bar they normally go to had no availabilities. So they claim that there was nowhere else in all of. And by the way, the bar they went to was like by New Hampshire.
So yes, just south of New Hampshire. Yeah.
So
the border.
I mean, there's like
that's right.
50 miles.
I know. It's a long drive.
Nothing between Salisbury Beach and Dorchester. Not one place that you could find that would just let. How many guys?
Apparently not. 12.
12? 12 isn't even like that big of a group. You could have done that like you could have called in a normal reservation at a place and gotten the table at 12.
I could have gotten you into my local.
I know.
They would have put you in the back room.
I know you're local. I would have gone there. It would have been great.
Why didn't you guys?
I'm not the guy. They get talked. I'm not the guy in charge.
All right. So anyway, so the Marshall Hook was the one guy from the radio station. So they decided, like, let's show up to work at 8 o'clock.
Here, this building.
At the station.
8 a.m. Saturday morning,
Have you seen pictures of the whiteboard they had?
Not, like, up-close pictures.
Okay, I was tweeted some. I'll see if I can pull
that's not a whiteboard. I mean, there are two boards. The whiteboard I think you're looking at is a legit, like, you know the projector you used to have in class?
Yes.
The
overhead.
The overhead. They used to have a video screen in front. That was a legit video screen.
Okay.
Because a guy brought in like a desktop computer.
He brought an iMac in. Like not a laptop, like a full-on iMac he brought it in.
Yeah,
Marshall Hook brought in a full-on, like, you know, with a monitor.
With a 27-inch screen?
Yes.
I'm hearing?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's right. That wasn't even the thing that that was being projected. That was just Marshall's personal use.
That's because he doesn't have a laptop?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
Oh, he's got 17
I didn't
kids.
Ask.
You think he has any money?
I don't know. That was a very large screen.
He's probably got a Commodore 64.
Yes.
Maybe that was just kind of like the peacocking. It's like he with the biggest screen wins, you know.
It's like one of those old Xerox computers.
With a reel-to-reel?
Yeah, that had to take up a whole room.
Right.
All right, so you guys, you get there at 8.
Yes.
And how long does this sumbitch go?
Draft starts at about 8:30. There were certain things, ceremonies to get out of the way. And then I was there from 8:30. I was here, downstairs. From 8:30 until I finally left at 3:15.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I left at 3:15, and there were still 10 guys there when I left.
How long does each round take?
It's not a round. It's an auction.
It's even worse.
So is there, like, an auctioneer?
Yes. There's kind of people. Depends on which two guys are volleying bids back and forth. Different guys say, okay, you know, bids to you, going once, going twice, sold.
Even if you found that fun. I would think that's one of those things that for the first hour and a half, you might be having fun. And then after it's like, dude, just get this over with.
No, I didn't mind it up until about 2 or 2:30, and then the walls started closing in. I'm like, I got to go. It's okay. Time.
Did Hook bring in his own, like, sodas?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Nobody touches my sodas.
I don't think
my sodas.
I don't think so. No.
Like Sebastian.
No.
That's right. Like Sebastian, I used to work with.
Don't touch my sodas.
We used to work with a guy that had a wooden box that he put a padlock on.
Ooh.
Where he kept his sodas in the refrigerator. All right. So I think I've seen this video. Is this when Joe Murray goes in?
This is Joe Murray's video. Yes.
Oh, by the
yes.
way, when Joe pops in, it's kind of like we're animals in a zoo, and Joe is like filming the spotted leopard in his cage.
Well, Hook has a good humor about it. You don't seem too upset, but the man who's the commissioner of your league.
Yes, I was sitting at the same table with the commissioner.
He's
and the commissioner
incredulous.
Was not pleased. He was not happy.
He's
no.
incredible.
And I didn't. And by the way, I didn't see the look he gave Murray until I saw the video this morning.
So
I had no idea who was upset.
Joe Murray was working right upstairs.
Yes, he had a short show. I believe we had Revolution Soccer on in the afternoon. Oh,
and he came down and he said, I'm going to go see what these guys are doing.
Right.
All right.
All right. So here is...
Party Central.
Here is... when you thought you were going after it, here are the boys just being boys.
These guys are doing a rotisserie draft in here. There's Wallach. There's Marshall Hook over there. Look at these guys. Are they, like, serious about this crap? This is like some from Fever Pitch. There's no joke in here. They got a damn board over here and everything. This is some serious right now.
What are we, zoo animals?
How you doing?
Hi.
How's it going?
Do you want to say hi to the draft?
Hello, everybody. Mind if I use this for the radio? This is crazy. You guys got a Fever Pitch draft board and everything?
Technically, we have two. We've got the sticker one and the
Oh, my God. I didn't even notice that one over there. Look at this thing.
There you go.
All right. Good luck, guys. Well, Dick, where you at?
Joe Murray has the lowest voice, like the deepest voice by like 10 octaves.
Yep.
You walked up like, ah.
You should have seen the face of the guy that was sitting with Walk. He was just like, ah. Can't you see we're in the middle of a draft?
Honest to God, I had no idea. He didn't even bring it up. I had no idea he was angry.
Because he was beyond words.
Did he cast a spell on Joe Murray?
I don't know what to tell you.
In between picks, were there rolling of the die?
No.
All right. We will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Touch and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Red Sox did not do well in Seattle.
It was,
I have a feeling they were hitless in Seattle.
Well, you see, they actually hit pretty well.
Yeah, but pitchless in Seattle doesn't sound as good.
Listless in Seattle? Pitchless in Seattle?
Pitchless.
Okay.
Yeah.
Strikeless in Seattle?
You know what? They pitch like a bunch of grunge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's where Seattle grunge comes from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably pretty rainy.
They got coffee.
It was raining dingers.
It was. It was raining dingers. And apparently there was a lot of... Someone hit the bridge. Eck used that term all weekend long, the bridge. And by the way, people are very angry at you, John Wallach, that you did not know that meant home runs.
No, I haven't used bridge to mean home run in a long time. So I thought, Eck, that's too simple for Eck. I figured there was some real cool meaning to it.
I thought so too.
I've never heard of that term being used for home run.
I hadn't either, but then again, I don't speak Eckersley.
I mean, listen... You know, Eck is from a different time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that maybe that's what they called a sweet line of booger sugar back then.
Bridge.
The bridge. I hate to sidetrack, but John Wallach was talking about that movie, Two for the Money, with
Matthew McConaughey.
And Al Pacino. And you said that could be Matthew McConaughey's worst movie. And I went, oh, touche. There is, and by the way, Matthew McConaughey has had some great roles. I think his role as Wooderson in Days of Confused is my all-time favorite movie role.
Yeah, but he's gone the other direction.
Oh, I'm talking big time. Like, there was like a period in his career where he just made garbage. He was in a movie called Sahara, where it was like an Indiana Jones knockoff that sucked. Failure to Launch. He made like a ton of those like bad chick flicks.
But he at the end, he got Sarah Jessica Parker.
Was that Failure to Launch?
Yes, that was Failure to Launch.
Which one was the one with Kate Hudson? Oh, Fool's Gold.
That's How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is Kate Hudson.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
But Failure to
Launch. Thumbs up from Nick in the other room, by the way.
Oh, The Ghosts of Girlfriends Past? Dude, he's made
Sarah Jessica Parker, though, I mean, like, you couldn't deny that sexual chemistry.
He was in Mud, which was one of those movies, Fred, that you're talking about. It was excellent. Mud was good. Out of nowhere, a really good movie. But, I mean, yeah, he was... Free State of Jones was supposed to suck. That was one of those movies that was trying to be, like, an Oscar film, and it was apparently awful. EdTV, not good.
EdTV.
EdTV came at the same time as The Truman Show, and it was basically the same kind of movie, and The Truman Show was just a million times better. Oh, and the dragon movie, Reign of Fire with Christian Bale.
I actually didn't mind that.
Not enough dragons. You can't make a dragon movie and only have dragons in it for like 10 minutes.
I didn't mind that. Doogie Howser showed up as like a guy who was his boss or something. I remember that.
Not enough dragons in Reign of Fire. You got to have dragons in a dragon movie.
All right.
All right. So that's, sorry, didn't mean to sidetrack. But so Xander Bogaerts ends up getting a deal for essentially $1 zillion. He's the highest paid shortstop annually now. It's going to be $132 million, which means after this year, he will get $20 million a year for the next 6 years. It's a 7-year deal.
This is an out, though.
It's like a three, after 3 years,
after
both sides?
After the 2022 season, no, it's a player. It's a player out.
Okay.
Player out, and then an 8th-year tax on if he has like 550 at-bats in the final year, year 7.
And you have, you see, I can't get fired up about any
baseball
contract. I'm
just
going to
say, well, here's the thing.
Because the baseball is stupid. The business of baseball is dumb. You can spend however much you want. And to me, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm kind of indifferent to this. I mean, the Red Sox win because, you know, they might get him at what winds up being a cheap amount of money in 5 or 6 years. Bogaerts can get out after 3 or 4 if it's lousy. And
that's what you thought about Bedroya.
Yeah, I did. I don't think there was an out, though, for Pedroia.
But you just thought, he's taking a hometown discount.
Yeah, well, it's a little different because the Bogaerts contract is up when he's 33 or 34. I mean, right now, Pedroia's still got 3 years left, and he's 34. So it's a little different that way. The Red Sox have guaranteed money, and he's guaranteed to be on the roster during year when he's 27, 28, 29, 30. Those are the prime years of his career. I guess it works for both sides. I mean, it's not something to get too fired up about.
So Mookie Betts, do you think they're willing to... Because you said something this morning that you thought there might have been... The reason they jumped on this is because
the
they weren't quite
part
sure.
Of me. Yeah, and the Red Sox have an unlimited budget, so I very well could be wrong about this. There's something nagging at me in the back of my mind saying, okay, you know, Betts has turned down our contract offers before. He seems hell-bent on going to free agency. He's going to cost $400 million when he pops up free agency. Maybe we get outbid. Let's make sure we lock down at least one of the... Another core piece. We have Sale. Let's lock down Bogaerts, and maybe that'll cushion the blow if and when we lose Betts. There's just a part of me that thinks that. Maybe it's the skeptical side. I don't know. Dombrowski is great at saving, great at spending money, but there's no guarantee he's going to be here in 2 or 3 years either.
By the way, he has a very similar contract that Goldschmidt just signed.
Yeah.
Almost for identical money.
And before you say it, I agree with you. Goldschmidt is a better player. He is.
No, Goldschmidt, you can make an argument, is the best player.
Yeah, Goldschmidt is a better player than Xander Bogaerts, and he is without a doubt one of the best two, if not the best first baseman in the league. Right. When you put everything into account, you know, guy steals bases, he hits, he plays defense. Cardinals got to steal. Goldschmidt's contract is way more bang for the buck than Bogaerts.
Are you staying up to the last pitch of tonight's game? It's, I think, 10:07 is the first pitch. Are you going to be watching the whole thing? David Price on the mound, which means to be a nice lengthy one.
See, right now I'm going to say no. But, you know, you get to that point and who knows? You know, you might get wrapped up in it. You might stay up a little late.
You only have one Red Sox on your team, right?
That's right. And it's David Price.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you got to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here.
Somebody said, "Did Wallach just confuse Reign of Fire with Starship Troopers?" I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, you know what? You're probably right. I did. Doogie Howser did show up in Starship Troopers and not Reign of Fire.
I just thought that you had this great memory because I saw that Reign of Fire and instantly he's like, "Oh, I'm going to forget about that one." Delete.
But he's right. I confused Starship Troopers with Reign of Fire. That's my fault.
Starship Troopers is pretty damn good. That's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, Doogie Howser is just out of nowhere. No one had seen him in a while, and then he popped up in that movie.
Travis, go ahead.
Hey, guys, hey.
Hey.
You have to look up the trailer for Tiptoes. Peter Dinklage and Gary Oldman play brothers, and Matthew McConaughey is in it. You have to look it up. I don't think I can give that much more, but that trailer is just fantastic.
Tiptoes. All right. I will have to do that. I like the weird ones. I like movies that aren't like everything else. That's why I'm recommending you see Border.
I read about the, is that the one with the trolls?
Yep. Without saying anything else, because it's best to go into that one completely blind, because by the end of it, just get ready for something effed up. It's good, though. It's like nothing you ever seen, but it is messed up. It's one of those movies made in Sweden where everyone's all weird. Yeah, weird stuff.
Sweden?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to go any further than trolls. Okay?
they're obsessed with trolls and things like that.
Trolls. So things that go bump in the night.
Oh, yeah. It goes a little more in depth than that.
No, I read the Wikipedia thing when you put it up.
If you read the Wikipedia thing, your head's going to spin. But I recommend you, if you're going to see the movie, don't read the Wikipedia. Because you just need about every 20 minutes, you go, oh boy.
See, the Wikipedia thing is good because it's written so straightforward.
Right. And just like, right, here's the plot, here's how things happen, and you still can't believe what you just read.
Yeah. Yep. All right. We will be back. There'll be no commercials here, just that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.